I have lived in Ohio all my life. Some of you may be residents, lifelong residents of Ohio, and many of you are familiar with the landscape of this area, right? If we head north, it gets a little hilly, but still pretty flat as you head north. If you head west towards Indiana, right, it's really flat. We experience a lot of cornfields, right, when we go through Indiana. And if you're lucky, you'll get to see the windmills up around Purdue. Anybody seen the windmills up there? That is, to me, the highlight of traveling through Indiana. And then if we travel south from Cincinnati, it becomes hilly as you go through Kentucky. And then we come into the mountains, which is just gorgeous. But if you stay around Ohio, a lot of what you'll experience is a lot of fields. And many of those fields have horses and cows in them. A lot of cows in Ohio. Want to share a little bit with you about the landscape over in Israel. It's very hilly over there. It is mountainous. And in the desert, you see field after field of date trees. Took me a little while to figure out what they were. They look like palm trees, but they're date trees over there. And you don't see fields with cows in them and horses. You see fields with camels in them. And I have to just tell you, there's a slide up here of camels. We traveled by bus as we traveled the countryside, and we were like five-year-olds glued to the windows. I don't know about you, but I was just absolutely enamored with the camels. Today, we embark on our Lenten road trip. And our travels today lead us into the wilderness, into the land of camels where they reside. Sometimes in life, our travels take a detour, and we take a different road, right? We're headed down a path, and then there may be a sign that we take a detour, and we take a different path or road that we had anticipated. You see, Jesus, he was in Nazareth, and he was planning to head to Jerusalem, but he had a change in direction, and he ended up traveling east to the Jordan River, and Jesus encountered John the Baptist at the Jordan River. And John, he had been baptizing for the repentance of sins, saying that, that he was baptizing with water, but Jesus would come, and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew the time had come to identify himself with all the people as a sign of God's kingdom, and his baptism was the start of his ministry. Want to share some photos with you from the Jordan River, and I share these with you so you can experience a little bit of what the Jordan looks like. It is on a flat part of the wilderness, and it's a fairly narrow river. And you'll notice there is a float rope. You can kind of see it down here in the right-hand corner. And that float rope, it marks the land division between Jordan and Israel. So the one side Israel, the other side is Jordan. And you will notice, if we can go back just one slide, when we visited, down here in the left corner, there was a busload of folks that had come from Ethiopia who were experiencing their baptism for the very first time. And it was a glorious sight to see them basking in that water. We can go ahead and transition to the next slide. And I want to share this with you because one of the things that I want this series to do is for Scripture to come to life for you like it came to life for me. And again, this is a picture of the Jordan. And I want to share a passage with you from Luke 3. And as I read this aloud to you, I want you just to let these words wash over your soul as you see that image of the Jordan River. We can go back to the Jordan River. There we go. Okay, hear these words. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And as he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. I take delight in you." We find a passage in Isaiah 42:1 that prophesies of the coming of the Savior. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." There are three recorded conversations when the Father spoke from heaven, and this is one of the first. You are my beloved, and I take delight in you. You see, as he prayed, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. You see, God is waiting for you to turn your face towards heaven. How might you be transformed through the power of prayer to seek God in such a way that the heavens open when you pray? You see, we are cleansed and made new through the waters of baptism, and we are claimed by God. And in the church, we celebrate as the body of Christ when baptism happens. Families come together, and it's usually a time of celebration after the baptism, and it's a time to rejoice. But after the Spirit descended upon Jesus, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You see, there was no time for celebration. There was no party. There was no cake. The Spirit directed him into the wilderness. The passage tells us immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels began to serve him. You see, we all have wilderness moments in our life. This is a tough year for many folks. We're all experiencing different things. There is something called seasonal depression, and it's a lack of daylight that causes anxiety and depression. And for some days, it's hard for some folks to function. They say that nearly 6% of the population is affected by seasonal depression. And it's a winter wilderness, if you will, for some folks. And many people are affected by this lack of daylight and the lack of sunlight. You may be some of these folks, or you may know somebody who is. You see, wilderness moments come when we see the innocent lives of children taken in school shootings. We feel angry. We feel helpless. We feel vulnerable. And it's a wilderness of grief and pain. And it's a nightmare that won't end. There is a best-selling book out and also movie that you may be familiar with. It's called The Shack. And some of you may have read the book or maybe have even watched the movie. But there is a character in this story, and his name is Mac. And he experiences tragic loss of his daughter. And he lives a parent's worst nightmare, to have a child taken and to never be seen again on this side of heaven. And rightfully so, this tragedy sends him into a spiral. He's hurt. And he's mad at God. And he receives this mysterious letter sending him to this shack in the wilderness. Mac finally gives in and embarks on this road to the wilderness. And Mac meets God. He meets Jesus, and he meets the Holy Spirit, known as the Trinity to us. You see, the wilderness is messy. And it's in the wilderness that we are exposed and we are vulnerable. It was in the wilderness of pain and anger and tears that the character Mac learned spiritual truths in the midst of pain and suffering that transformed his understanding of tragedy and changed his life forever. Romans 8 tells us, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, Jesus, he went into the wilderness. It was a time of reflection. He knew what was ahead. It was a time of preparation. A time of preparation and a time of reflection. He spent 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted by Satan. You see, it's where Satan does his best work. He comes to us in the wilderness to tempt us, to fill our thoughts with lies and deceptions. But see, the scriptures, they tell us that it wasn't just Jesus and Satan in the wilderness, that the angels, they began to serve and to minister to Jesus. You see, there was another presence in the wilderness, and that was God. God was with him. You see, it's in the wilderness moments of our lives that we have a choice of whose voice we listen to. We have a choice. We can seek and experience the love and the presence of God and allow the wilderness to shape us for the glory of God. Or we can be consumed by Satan's voice. Who do you listen to in those wilderness moments of your life? Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Of my trip to Israel, I would say probably one of my favorite places was the desert. It was peaceful and it was beautiful and it was quiet. And it fostered a connection to God that allowed from a disconnection of the noise of the world. You see, the wilderness, it can be a beautiful place to seek and feel and experience the hand of God upon your life. We can choose to find solace in the wilderness, right, on our own. But sometimes there's a detour in our lives, and we end up in the wilderness not by choice. You see, the character Mac in the story of the shack, he never intended to be in the wilderness, but he experienced a detour in his life, and God met him in that detour. You see, we don't have the Judean desert here, but we can be intentional to find time to get away, to seek God and to draw close to him and to cry out if that's what we need to do. You see, being a follower of Jesus Christ, to travel the roads that Jesus traveled, requires us to get wet through the waters of baptism, to be made new in Christ, claimed as a beloved child of God, but also to get dirty. You see, life is messy, and if we allow ourselves to embrace the dirtiness of our lives by exposing our heart and true feelings to God, we can be washed clean through the cleansing waters of our baptism. The wilderness can be a beautiful and holy place. You see, God meets you in the wilderness and reminds you who you are. You are his beloved.